Good morning. So we have in our gospel reading the famous/infamous Beatitudes. And they kick off the most famous collection of all of Jesus' teaching, what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount. He goes up on a mountain, and immediately, if you were an Israelite or connected to that history, you would go, Moses. And then he sits down, which is the proper and traditional posture of a teacher. I don't do that right now. I'd love to, but whatever. I need to get my steps in. And then what unfolds is a sometimes dense, always very challenging picture of what it means to follow God's teaching. Just like Moses went up to the mountain on Sinai and received and then gave Torah, God's teaching or law, Jesus is doing the same, but it's his interpretation of what it would look like if everyone actually lived as God had intended. And in the explosive first section, these Beatitudes, Jesus announces blessing on an interesting group of people. Now, there are other lists within Jewish literature that give a similar, actually the same number of blessings, which is eerie, but they have a tendency to bless the powerful, the strong, the mighty, those who have it all together. But instead, Jesus says, blessed are those who are meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for, translation says righteousness, I think it's probably better understood as justice, those who are hungry and waiting for justice, those who find themselves on the business end of the powerful, the capable, the wealthy, the strong. And that's a weird way to begin this movement, because this is his big public appearance. He is already pretty popular, but this is when he just kind of lays it all out there. And it got me thinking, because the Beatitudes are notoriously difficult to preach on, because there's so much there. We could spend all of our time on one of them. We're not going to today, though. But it got me thinking, if we were in, say, like a kind of a group setting, like a work project that had a particularly challenging task, and you were part of a team that was assembled, or if you prefer, like, that reoccurring nightmare is actually reality and you wake up and you're in high school and you're stuck in a group project, would you want the people that Jesus listed on your team, or would you want the opposite? Now, obviously, you know which one we're going to land on. We're going to land on Team Jesus. But that question is not that obvious. Because think about who would be on that first team, the opposite of who Jesus just pronounced a blessing on. It would be the wealthy, the powerful, the well-educated, strong, highly capable, talented individuals who have at least some sense of it being all together. Like, that's actually who you want, right? I mean, our society, our culture, and just human nature itself likes to succeed. I don't know about you, but I don't like to fail at things. You'd think I'd be used to that by now. But those would be the people that you would want. Not the meek, the poor in spirit, pure in heart, those who are hungering for justice, the ones who orient their lives around giving mercy, I mean, if you've got some deadlines, and to meet those deadlines, you have to throw a whole bunch of talent and skill and resources and energy and experience at it, it's hard to say where you're going to end up with that second group. But that first group's going to get things done. They're going to move in the direction that you need to. There's a catch, because of course there is. The people who are highly capable, and you know, looking around, I see a few of you, more than a few actually, who are highly capable with some very interesting stories. But if your life is oriented around that, it's going to take a certain shape. I'll give you an example. When my son was about 9 months old, it's kind of iffy exactly when, we were invited to a Baylor alumni event where we go and celebrate all the new freshmen from that region and send them off to Waco, Texas, the center of the universe. And and it was hosted in Atherton, California. And if you don't know Atherton, California, it is the most expensive place to live in the United States. Yeah, more expensive than New York City. This is the place where the billionaires of Silicon Valley live. I'm not going to name him because I don't want to get sued. The person that hosted the event, if you live in Silicon Valley, you absolutely knew who he was. I promise you, everybody in this room has used this company's products in many ways, and probably in a whole lot of ways you don't even know. It was, I think, the nicest, or at least maybe the most expensive house than almost anybody anywhere will ever enter. I feel pretty confident in saying that. He was a titan within the industry. And very well known for being very good at what he did. We'll just set that there. We gather, you know, the alumni do their thing. A few of us brought young children, which made it just an absolute circus. And Nash, my son, 9-ish months old, threw up on his couch. Now, at the time, I did what, of course, I would do. I put that on social media. I just said, Nash just threw up on blank's couch. And that post on social media, to put it lightly, got some attention. A lot of attention. At that time, most of my friends that I interacted with in any regularity lived in Silicon Valley. They knew exactly who this guy was. And a bunch of them worked for that company. Like a shockingly high number. And for weeks, no exaggeration, my friends who worked for that company, worked maybe a few levels under him or whatever, came up to me in person and just said, "Thank you to Nash for throwing up on that guy's couch." And it got me thinking, wow, you guys really hate this guy. A quick Google search gave you plenty of reasons to. He was very, very good at what he did. And in the process of being very good at what he did, there was a whole pile of bodies and relationships behind the house. Cutthroat is a very mild way to put it. He got results. He was very successful. I mean, he lived in Atherton. But the utter destruction, the utter human destruction that was often left in his wake, to me, made it hard to justify that level of success. There's a couple of other little twists in that story. I don't want to say anything while I'm being broadcast on the internet. Ask me some other time. Again, I don't want to get sued. But he very much embodies the opposite, or embodied, he has now since passed, embodied the opposite of the Beatitudes. You look at just kind of his general demeanor and the way he conducted himself and the trail of scandals that he left in his wake. And you realize that the group that Jesus blesses, as imperfect as they may be, will tend not to do that. The meek, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the merciful, those who understand the importance of mourning and grief, those who hunger for justice, are going to care more about the bodies in the back than the success that it produced. And so we, I think, start to see some of the genius of Jesus. That the group that is very much the opposite of the types that Jesus then has just blessed, they may gain some success. They may produce incredible things. But the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And when Jesus explodes on the scene and starts listing out these categories of people that would have been very, very comforting and exciting to the people to whom Jesus was speaking, because they tended to be at the lower end of the social spectrum. They found themselves with the boot of power on their necks for most of their lives. They would have heard this and said, "Finally, this is a movement that values us simply for who we are. They're not asking us to sacrifice our lives for the sake of success or wealth or productivity, because all of those things will end up making that requirement." And if Jesus is giving us a window into the kingdom of God, which is exactly what he's doing, by the way, what he's saying is there's a place for you. It's not about the grind. It's not about how much you produce. It's not about how smart you are or capable you are, how cutthroat you can be, how efficient you need to be or think you need to be or can be. It's not about any of that, because all of that tends to stack bodies up. All of this tends to draw out the best in us. For all of its many, many other things, what Jesus lays out when he blesses these people is a chance for human beings to truly flourish. And human beings tend to flourish the most when they are in solid, loving, healthy relationship. What a way to begin to really hit the scene in public ministry. To say, forget about what you think it means to be human. This is the new agenda. And Jesus, of course, being Jesus, doesn't lead from the side or the back. He's not that sort of way too involved middle manager who just needs to micromanage absolutely everything you do. He's the leader that leads the way. He jumps ahead and says, these are the people who are blessed. And then he goes on to embody that way of being, as if to say, watch this. you're next. Which is really exciting until you continue to watch thinking we're next and he goes to his death. Because when he says you're next, he also means it. To step away from this other way of being requires a certain kind of death, a certain kind of letting go. And wherever Jesus brings death, he also makes alive. And so for all of the other things that Beatitudes are, they are in fact an invitation to step away from all of the other demands and requirements and ways of being that we are told will make us valuable members of society, and instead to step into the way of mercy and peace. As imperfect as we are, to follow Jesus into his death, and then to be raised to new life, which is the language that the earliest Christians will use to describe baptism. So on this All Saints Day we recognize and remember those who have gone before us. And locally here at the Christ Lutheran community, those whom we knew and loved and continue to love, knowing that they have run the race, they have fought the good fight, they rest with Jesus, and they wait. Wait for the resurrection and renewal of all things, the final completion of what Jesus started when he began with, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, the merciful, those who mourn, the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is our legacy, and that is our future. Amen. As you are able, please rise.